1-800-332-1320. Do it today.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield today regarding the French Revolution. Point of clarification, sir. What are the exact years of the French Revolution?
Okay. We say it starts in 1789, and you can say all the way to 1799.
10 years.
Yeah. I mean, it has all these stages. And as I said earlier, understanding the French Revolution is difficult. If you can understand the French Revolution, you can understand history, because it's one thing after another. There's five different governments arise, called. Okay, I left you off last time with something with the rise of deism, the Reign of Terror, National Convention, which had replaced the National Assembly. Then you have the rise of something called the Directory. It takes over. And the first thing it does is, among other things, is executes Robespierre and his – I mean, so the same – he was only in power a year or so, Robespierre, and he gets executed. Because when new people take power, they execute the people that were before them. This is the way this works. Now, this is something similar to what happens in the Russian Revolution in 1917. I mean, it just gets more and more radical. And so they do operate – like that. Now, during this whole time, you've got the military, which was originally loyal to Louis XVI, then became loyal to every government. And there was a young general that was good at commanding soldiers, putting down the revolution, and fighting the French enemies. His name was Napoleon Bonaparte. Now, he was born in 1769 in Corsica, which was an island that belonged to France. He'd been trained in military school, and he was somewhat of a military genius. In 1799, he's only 30 years old. And when he drove the legislators from the Directory, he came in and says, this is ridiculous. There's too much chaos here. He basically forms a coup. And this is so true in revolutions. Whoever controls the army, if there's somebody that's smart, hey, the army they have the guns, and they're the ones that can, bring a new government at the end of a barrel. That's just the way that works, and he did it. Napoleon, he drives the Directory from their chambers, and he declares something called the Consulate, headed by three consuls. And guess who's the first consul? Napoleon. This reminds me of Julius Caesar back when the fall of the Roman Republic. Back
right.
In 30 BC. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and so now he claims, Napoleon says, I'm a son of the revolution. This is just another step in the revolution. He presents a plebiscite to the French people. Basically, it says, up or down, do you want this consulate? Do you want me? And of course, anytime you have things like this, we want you, Napoleon. And Napoleon is basically elected first consul, and he's got control of the entire military. He does allow a little bit more freedom. I mean, he reinstates the Roman Catholic Church and says, yes, well, you can go back to church. And so the clergy are, at least we do away with this, the cult of reason. During the days of Robespierre and the Directory, in other words, you go back to a 7-day week. You go back that you can go to church, and so there is a measure of freedom. And he has some professional tax collectors starts collecting the taxes. He does make some measure of peace with the nobility and with the peasants, and so that he institutes something called the Code of Napoleon. In which, we're going to have some justice. We're going to make taxation a little bit more fair. And he does. And he does do that. So I guess you can say, and I asked my class this today, what's better, chaos or tyranny, or at least chaos or measured tyranny. And people always opt for measured tyranny. In other words, let's say we lost our freedom in this country, let's say, and but we still had football games. You could still pull for the national championship, and the NFL would be alive, but we just couldn't really pick our representatives anymore. And most people, as long as they had a job to go to and they were fed and they had their football, that's okay. Because we can't have roving bands of people wandering the countryside robbing people. What happened in the French Revolution was what happens in revolutions. It goes from stage to stage to stage to stage until you lose all order, and then a leader arises and brings at least stability and peace. And that's what Napoleon did. Now, Napoleon has these – now, this is around 1800 now. And by the way, there's a lot of these things going on here at 1800 and in the 1790s that affect America, because England is watching what's happening in France and they don't like it. And so there's this ongoing competition between England and France. It's in the 1790s when John Adams was president that we almost went to war with France, what we call the quasi-war with France, because they were not respecting our rights on the seas. But Adams kept us out of that. Come 1800, Napoleon's got his eye on the rest of Europe because he controls the most powerful military in Europe and France. And they still had control Louisiana territory. They bought it back from Spain. And he's contemplating setting up a worldwide empire, Napoleon. Kind of a genius and when it comes to military operations and so on. He is. But there was an epidemic in Haiti where a lot of French soldiers died, and he needs his money he turns his attention to Europe, thinking, and he says, you know what, this new world empire may not be worth it. It's at that time that he negotiates the sale of Louisiana to us in 1803, which is good in the sense that he turns all of his attention to Europe and not to North America. That's when we purchased Louisiana, almost double the size of the United States, gave him the money. Now he can take that money and he can concentrate on conquering Europe. And he does. He has lots and lots of victories. Now, he wanted to control everything. One of the most important naval battles in the war, in world history, October 21st, 1805, the Battle of Trafalgar, where Lord Nelson and the British defeat the French fleet. And that's where Lord Nelson, the most famous naval hero in British history, maybe in worldwide history, that's where the British defeat the French, and Nelson dies. But while he's dying, he said, "Thank God I have done my duty." And so he's very famous. And Britain controls the mastery of the sea. However, Napoleon starts conquering one country after another country in Europe, sets up what he calls the continental system. He wants to ostracize England. He does. But they're still at war with each other, ongoing, at war with each other continually. And he bites off a little bit more than he can chew. He makes the fatal mistake because Alexander I, the Tsar of Russia, withdrew himself from this continental system, and he angered, Alexander did, Napoleon. Napoleon says, "I'm going to invade Russia." He does, but unfortunately, or fortunately, 600,000 of his best troops march into Russia, but they get slaughtered by the Russian winter. Just as you know what happens to Hitler.
Yep.
About 130 years later, same thing happens to Hitler. And so he wins a lot of victories. He's a great military genius, but there's a big battle called the Battle of Leipzig, when the European nations have organized themselves and they defeat Napoleon. They send him to the island of Elba to live out the rest of his days. And that's in 1813. Let me give you a parenthetical here and try to tie American history into this. So he's defeated Napoleon in 1813. Now, remember, we were at war with Britain in 1812.
Yeah, the War of 1812. Now,
right.
Were we, as a country, did we have a position, or did we how did we interact with Napoleon?
Wise men knew that he couldn't be trusted. However, remind you of American politics, the Federalists and later the Whigs, they leaned towards supporting Britain over France. And the Republicans, or the Democratic Republicans, the Jeffersonians, and then later the followers of Madison and Monroe, they supported more France in this whole thing. However, so we go to war with England in 1812, mostly over freedom of the seas. They were impressing our sailors to coming up to our ships and taking them over to serve in the British Navy. And they weren't respecting our independent status. So we go to war with them, and we're kind of almost maneuvered into that by Napoleon. But when Napoleon is defeated in 1813, England basically says to us, well, you can have your sailors back. And the reason that we went to war kind of ended, and we negotiated with them. We had a negotiated settlement to the end of the War of 1812 before the great battle of January of 1814, when General Jackson defeated the British at the Battle of New Orleans in 1814. Okay, so that's how that kind of affected us Americans. But in 1813, the war is over. The European nations, they send Napoleon back to this island of Elba, but he was so drunk with power, he figures out a way to leave. He escapes his island. He which was off the Italian coast, but by March 1st, 1815, he escapes. He lands in France. And one company of soldiers after another company. So he'd march into a city, and his old soldiers that were sent out to fight him, they join him. Eventually, he goes into Paris, raises another army. We'll talk about it, the last demise of Napoleon and the end of the French Revolution.
Perfect. Final segment of today's history lesson. We'll be right back.
Montana Black Angus beef raised in Onaway, Michigan. Tolini Farms have been raising their cows by feeding them non-GMO corn, barley, wheat, and alfalfa hay, all grown on their own farm. Taking the Ebles for processing, aged, standard cut, vacuum sealed, and frozen, ready for immediate delivery directly to you. Call them today at 989-733-2782 for their current $4 per hanging weight pound. Quarters or halves will feed your family for a year. Call them right now at 989-733-2782.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of My Pure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269
864-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Galen. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens and Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
LegendarySystems.net now offers affordable remote tech support for your computer, the same service that large companies have been using for years. To discuss your needs and pricing, call us at 231-818-8349. Don't take your computer in for repairs. Let us do it remotely. Again, call us today at 231-818-8349.
Buddy, welcome back into the show. Final segment, history lesson with Pastor Tedfield. Go ahead and pick it up where you left off.
Okay, so he gets back into Paris, 1815, Napoleon gets back into Paris, raises another army, and but it's not nearly the army that he had before his invasion of Russia. So he meets his final defeat at the Battle of Waterloo. He basically takes control of France again for 100 days. And this is where we get this saying, everybody has their Waterloo. That is the end of him. The next time, they allow him to live, but they exile him to the distant island of St. Helena in the South Atlantic, and there he dies. Napoleon was known as the Little Corporal. Duke of Wellington said he called him the Grand Disturber of Europe. And Alexis de Tocqueville said, He was as great as a man can be without virtue. Now here's my point on the French Revolution. It started off with Louis, the Bourbon kings, 14, 15, 16. Things were breaking up, especially with the 15th and the 16th, especially Louis the 16th and his wife, Marie Antoinette. It breaks up, and it goes from one stage, five or six different governments, till you end up with Napoleon, another tyrant. Maybe not as bad as some other tyrants in world history, but he was still a tyrant. Okay. And, but he couldn't control his own desires. If he could have been content with what he had in France, who knows how long he could have dominated. It's kind of like Hitler, in the sense that, why did Hitler invade Britain? Why didn't he just say, hey, I control the whole continent, why do I have to, expand? But that's the nature of conquerors. That's the nature of tyrants. You got to have more and more and more. And so what happens at the end of all this, after Napoleon dies on the island of St. Helena? You guessed it. The Bourbon kings are reinstated. And France, to this day, maybe that's not quite true, but France for next 100 years has one constitution after another constitution and another constitution. And they have no stability. Listen, everybody, stability is worth something. That's why even in American history, people like Alexander Hamilton were not all against having a king. He wasn't. Why? Because when you have a monarchy, at least you have stability. I mean, I'm glad we didn't. Washington said no way. But if Washington would have agreed with that, we would have had it. We would have had King Washington, because everybody honored Washington. But he did not want that. He wanted. But don't equate a monarchy with tyranny, because they're not quite the same things. You can have a limited monarchical government that can function well, but for us, America, we wanted a president. We wanted a constitution with no kings, no inheritance. But you can just see the instability in Europe what happened because of the French Revolution ending in Napoleon. Then eventually they bring back the Bourbon Kings. That is the way it is. Let me tell you something else that's true. You've got to learn this lesson. Not everybody's ready for freedom. Not everybody can handle representative government. Because once you get power, you just go and try to execute the people that were before you. Once you get power, maybe you can start arresting everybody you didn't like. Excuse me. That's what happens when you lose a sense of stability. And it happens all over the place. It does happen. Once you get power, oh, we're going to – hey, let me give President Trump just a – let me give you a hats off to him. Did he arrest Hillary Clinton after he was elected president in 2016?
Absolutely not.
Did he go after her?
Nope.
No. Was it possible that she might have done some illegal things or Bill Clinton?
Absolutely.
Is that possible?
Yes.
Was it these major – did he send the FBI or anybody after them? No.
Department of Justice weaponized it against them?
No, he didn't do that. So all the people, oh, he's a threat to our democracy. Oh, is he? Is he?
Mm-hmm. Contrary to the evidence, which he did none of those things. And the other thing, look at what the Biden Justice Department is doing against Trump.
There you go. See, this is the type – and I'm not saying it's to the level of the French Revolution, but it's not good. It is not good.
Well, you know what, though? If you look at the polling – every single time that they do this, they bring charges against them and they pop up a lawsuit somewhere else, his numbers go up in the poll. Why? No, it's not a hope. It's fact. Have you looked at the Rasmussen polling, yes, overall average of all the polling?
Well, what I was going to say is I hope the bulk of the American people can see that.
That's exactly what's happening. The people are saying, you know what? Here's another form of a tyrannical government out of control under Biden, and they're going after this guy because he's leading in the polls, and every time they do it, they bring another charge. Boom, he goes up another couple of points. I mean, it's Iowa caucuses within 10 days from today, January 15th. We're going to see what happens there. Watch how much they go after him after he wins the Iowa caucuses.
Right.
Going to be interesting.
Right.
Unbelievable. Right. Well, we appreciate this. You know, one thing I did want to wrap up real quick. Are we looking at potential revolution here? I mean, you just laid out the entire case, what happened in France. It's not going to happen here.
I don't think so. I don't want one. People die.
Yes.
We don't want a lot of people dying. What we want... And remember this when Russell Kirk said this. We want a reasonably ordered society with freedom. Reasonably ordered. Listen, everybody, don't look for perfection anywhere. You're not going to find it.
Not going to find it anywhere. Great history lesson. Great discussion, sir. Greatly appreciate it. And, of course, we'll have you on the air radio on Sunday, 11 to noon, for church services.
Amen. Looking forward to that. Thanks, Randy.
Thank you, sir. God bless. Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY or call 800-654-9659.
My name is Todd Spalver. I'm running to be your state representative in the 106th District. One of the reasons that I am running is because our current public education system is failing our children. I support real, common sense policies and approaches to education and the safety of our children. All parents have a right to decide on their children's education, not the government or unions. I will fight to ensure that. After all, they are our most precious resources we have, and they are worth the fight. Vote for me, Todd Smallenberg, electsmallenberg.com. Paid for by Todd Smallenberg for state rep.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serve